Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your host, Dennis, and you're tuned into Keeping It Honest. And this is the episode, Where is the Love? And yeah, it says it all in the topic, Where is the Love? It would appear that love has been lost. And the question is, can we find it? Who knows? From the dating scene to getting catfished, ghosted, you name it, that question stands true. And we need to be honest and keep it honest. Where is the love? And today we do have our special guest, and I'm going to introduce her because we're going to jump right into this because it's Keeping It Honest. We're going to introduce my lovely guest, Sam Law. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not good. I'm lying. To y'all. I'm not good, but I'm hanging in there.
You're hanging in there. Why are you not good? Why are you not so good, Sam? I mean, let's keep it honest. What's going on? Why are you not good?
I'm going through some relationship woes. So I guess we'll dig into it, you know.
We'll dig into it. Because I got a couple questions. I mean, because like I said, you know, where's the love? And we want to keep it honest. So before we dive in, I think it's all going to come to fruition. But the first thing I guess I kind of want to ask you, based off of this topic, is in your own words, what does the subject title of this show actually mean to you? Where is the love? What comes to mind when you hear that title?
The universal mindset of love. Just like what's going on in the universe with it. That's what it means to me.
All right. No, I respect that. Cause you know, the funny thing about love is that it could be taken in so many different things. And we all, I mean, at least in my opinion, I believe there are levels to love. You love people differently. You love a significant other different than you love a child, and you love a child different than you love a family member, a cousin, or a brother. So, you know, I do like your synopsis on where is the love. And as we continue to go through this, I think we're gonna probably enlighten a lot of people. And I think a lot of people may either relate with us, some people may hate our points of views or what we're talking about. So we shall see. Now, would you personally say, how do you know, because like I said, I'm going in, how do you know when you love someone? Is it a feeling? Is it an action? What does that do for you? How do you know?
How do I know when I love someone?
Yeah.
Romantically or regular people?
Look, keep it honest. You could give us both. Which way you want to go with it?
Okay, I'm going to keep it real.
Yeah,
so if you know me, you know what? Let me say who I am a little bit first. So I don't even think people know who I am. So
yeah, right, I was keeping it light.
We just digging in. I don't even know the world who knows who I am. So I am Sam Law. You know, I'm from Long Island. I'm a community advocate, I would have to say. I've given TED Talks. I'm a published model. And I've worked in marketing for a long time, and I own a nonprofit organization that's doing some cool things on Long Island. And I think sometimes I'm out in a public view, and not sometimes, often I'm out in public view. And I think that has kind of shaped over time, that has shaped my views on love and what's going on. So for me, love, yeah. There's three types of love. You know, there's agape, there's eros, and then I forgot what the other one is. I don't remember. I could look it up, but I'm
you got a better breakdown than me, man. I'll talk about love your kids, love your significant other.
So that's agape love. Like okay, agape love is like it's the love you kind of have for everyone. You know, it's this like your children, you're bonded to them. Your family, you have a bond with them. Okay. Your friends, you have a bond with them. So that love is special. And then there's like a universal love. I forgot what the word for that is, but like I have a love for humanity. I really want to see people succeed in the basic good of mankind. I want that. And that's a love that I have because it's something that I fight for on a daily basis in our area of Long Island. But then there's eros love. That's that love that, you know, I've only had that once, maybe once and a half times.
Okay.
And you know, not even two times, like 1.5 times I've ever.
You like, you know, like that much. Like I like that much.
Yeah, okay. I was recently starting to fall in love with someone. So but and then it's been 11 or 12 years since I've loved someone prior. So I don't know really when I'm in love, but one of the things that I can kind of pinpoint in the most recent aspect was that I was willing to put all my walls down.
Okay. So that kind of brings us to the next question, because it kind of flows right into that. Because I was going to ask you, you did mention that as of recently, so don't think we're not going to go into that. But the question I have is kind of what scares you about love, and then how did that play a role into what you recently just experienced when it comes to where's the love?
I'm a commitment phobe, so love terrifies that, you know, going back to that Eros love, romantic love terrifies me. I've always been a commitment phobe. From the time I was a kid, I was never that kid I was never that girl that knew like what my wedding was gonna be like, or, you know, I never really saw that for myself. I was more of a goal oriented, like I had goals. I wanted to accomplish goals. I liked having a partner, and I that felt good, but I was more about goals. Now I'm at that stage in my life where I've hit a good portion of those goals.
Right.
And I'm looking around and I'm like, it would be nice to hit those goals with somebody, you know? Okay. And it would be nice to feel something.
Right. So do you feel like with your last situation, or situations, however you want to describe them, that those things missed the mark, or they, you know, did people drop the ball? Was it you? Was it them? Was it me?
I guess. I literally just walked away from this discussion, so you're gonna get the fresh tea.
Yeah, yo, let's get it. Keeping it honest. That's what this is about.
So basically, you know, I had ended a relationship. I really, to be honest with you, the relationship for me ended 3 years ago. Okay. And I was kind of doing, not with this person. So I was previously in a relationship. I'm going to give him a fake name with Donovan.
Donovan.
I was in a relationship with Donovan. Nice guy. Right. Gotcha. And Donovan was like, he presented off as a nice guy to the public world. Mm-hmm. But at home, Donovan was not a nice guy. Donovan was abusive. Donovan was emotionally, physically, verbally abusive. Okay. And I kind of got tired of putting on this. We were kind of like, he wanted to have this power couple image to the public. Right. And yeah, but you're not empowering me at home. At home, you're making me feel like I'm crap, even though I was still doing what I need to do. You're making me feel like crap. So
right.
Technically for me, I was with Donovan for about 6 years, and that relationship ended for me 3 years ago.
Right.
And I was doing my own thing. I do whatever I want. I didn't really care anymore. But it like completely ended like in June of this year. And then we lived together. That ended in September. So not too long after that, after we went our separate ways and from living together, I met this new guy, and we'll call him Jake from
Jake,
State Farm.
Right. Donovan, Jake from State Farm. Y'all be loving his commercials, just saying. But
yeah, well, I wanted to add that because this person is in the entertainment world. So
okay.
Jake from State Farm, you know, he was funny. He was charming. He was cool. He was a handsome man. Yeah, he had all. He crossed. He filled all the voids. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I was very, very happy. But Jake from State Farm felt that because me and Donovan hadn't been done for a long time, that I could never. I guess I could never be a long term partner for him. Okay. But he still continued talking to me anyway.
Oh.
And seeing me anyway, and we got closer. And you know, I spent time with his family and amongst his friends, and I showcased him on my shows and things. And I thought things were going well until we got into a bit of an argument. It wasn't that crazy. And I tried to clear the air before I left. Like, just like, let's, you know, don't go to sleep mad at each other type thing. I'm leaving, but I want to go to sleep mad at each other. And they weren't having it. So, and that's fine. whatever. I said my apology. I left. I went back to my own place. But then from there, it was now, well, I have had space from you, so I was able to get more work done. And which I didn't know I was impeding on their work at all, because I'm
right.
You know, okay. I'm an entrepreneurial mindset person, and you got to know how to balance your stuff. And if you don't, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. You know, that's only, you need to, like, don't throw that on me.
Right.
And I'm just more of their, they had a lot of hangups and beliefs that I just don't share. And I still would have been willing to work on it. There was a lack of respect for the fact that, you know, when I needed a moment, when I need a moment, I cut you out completely. Like, I am going to block your calls. I am going to block you on social media. And that wasn't the only person I had to do that with. I had to do it with a few other people, because it was just a lot going. There's been a lot going on this last week. So anybody that kind of was too in it, like, I just shut off myself to the world and just kind of hung out with my kids for a day. And now today's a new day, and I'm ready to kind of, like, go and attack these things or that I was dealing with a fresh mindset. I needed a day to get a fresh mindset, and they think I'm lying. They don't respect that. So whatever.
Yeah, listen, you know, and you bring up, you bring up a lot of good points, like I said, being of the male species. I can understand where a lot of what you said, probably I've had some of those pitfalls in the past. May even have some in the future, but I definitely could relate to some of the things that you were saying as far as what you may have been receiving from them and what they might have been receiving from you. And it, like I said, just goes back to kind of, like, you know, where is the love? What does it mean to different people? How do people even understand love languages anymore? Do people really openly communicate? And for one, are people really honest you know, about it? So I guess I kind of laugh at this. Is just like, you know, you'll have a lady you're interested in, and she'll ask you this infamous question: how do I look? And we all know, as men, that can go a lot of different ways, right? But the truth of the matter is like, a lot of guys will say, oh, you look nice.
Yeah, this is a hard one for me, and someone asked me this recently.
So you'd be like, you look nice, and it's innocent, whatever. But in the back of his head, he might be like, I don't know, man. And, you know, it's like, it's not that bad, but it ain't what you think it is. And I think from that significant thing, it can create a snowball, because it's the indiscreet, not openness, which when the bigger issues come up, as far as like, I need space or I need to do this, is just kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. But I said, you know, he told me he liked my outfit, and now he's telling me he don't want to do with me, or, you know, vice versa. So I definitely can understand where you're coming from. It can be very frustrating, you know.
I want to touch on this how do you look.
Go ahead. Let's talk about it.
Men, okay, let's put it in perspective. From you, if you, yes, you chose this girl, like, this is the one you chose, this is your partner. I don't know about girls that ain't your partner, but if this is your boo, your boo, your bae, your wifey, whatever, like, y'all are, y'all got like a little mutual, a social contract of some sort of commitment to each other, you already know that you're attracted to her. So unless she's coming out with her hair looking crazy, you probably still attracted to her even then. What we're really asking you is, like, do you, like, maybe I don't have a perfect body. I have an average body. You know, I'm a moderately attractive female. I think I'm going to say that not because I'm vain, but because I had an agent, you know? So I don't think she chose me because I was ugly to be a part of her business. But if, like, now you see me, I'm about to walk out the house and my eyelashes coming off, and I'm like, babe, how do I look? Yo, tell me my eyelashes coming off. Don't let me go outside with a crooked eyelash, bro. And at the same time, ask me how I think you look, because you might be walking outside with your shirt all crooked or you don't match. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share it with you, because I feel like as your partner, it's my duty to make sure that you're seen in the best light no matter where you go. So I prefer if you're like, you know what, that dress is not the best dress for you, but there's another dress in your closet that I like. Let's see how that one looks.
Right. And you know, and I agree with you. You know, so I definitely agree with you. But my perspective of that is, if we've been, you know, as far as like dating, if we've been so used to accommodating each other and having nice pleasantries, then when honesty starts to come out, it could arouse a lot of insecurities, in my personal opinion. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm just being honest. I think that, you know, some people are not always 100% secure in themselves, whether it be a man or a woman. And you may say to him, yo, honey, go change because you mismatch it, right? And if he's an insecure type of guy, he might get offensive. He might get defensive. And it creates a wedge of distrust. So now that as innocent as you meant that, he's thinking in his mind now, when you go out, you're going to look for a guy who maybe matches. And the matching was really anything to do it, and you were honest. And I feel vice versa, where if a man tells a woman, like, hey, you don't look good, or you need to lose weight, or usually weight's the most touchy one, just to be honest. You know, so it becomes very touchy, and he may not mean it in a bad way, and he may not be trying to insult her, but now she feels insecure, and the insecurity underlining starts to divide the two. So I guess my question would be, in your own opinion, if you were to keep it honest, how does someone negate that, or how do people kind of get over that? Because like I said, I agree with what you're saying, but the reality is of the amount of insecure men and women out there, they can't normally have that conversation. They can't even make those comments to each other.
If you
would
can't
you agree
make
or disagree?
Okay, so I want to go back to what I said. I want to go back to two things you said. One, you mentioned love languages, and I know you mentioned it in a traditional sense, but I just want to go back to the word language. We have to learn how to speak to each other. We have to learn how to speak to each other. There are some things that you must say because you care about the situation and you want it to continue. And, you know, you want that person to hear you and whatever. And if that person is really rocking with you, they're going to hear you and they're going to try. If they're not really rocking with you, they ain't going to hear you. They're going to shut down. It is what it is. And they're just going to be however to you. That's one thing. The other thing, there's a way to say some things. Like, I'm not necessarily going to tell him, like, oh, you know, that outfit looks terrible. I'm not going to say that. I might say, you know what? Maybe this tie works better. Or maybe, you know, a slim fit jean is better. Or maybe a looser fit jean is better because it looks better with the shoe that you picked. And I know you just got those shoes and you want to wear them, babe. So, you know, it's softening the criticism, not giving the criticism, but you make it palatable for your partner, because the goal shouldn't be to hurt. You know, look, I recently lost 60 something odd pounds, right? There was a point There was a point where I was 190 pounds, and not once did my ex ever talk about my weight. He never, like, I don't know if he cared about it, but he never put me down. Right. But if he saw it, when he saw that I was concerned and this is a credit to him, which I don't really give him much. Yeah. But when Donovan saw that I was struggling with my weight, and I said, hey, you know, I had suffered some bad injuries. I don't know how I'm going to get this weight off because I still can't really work out. I still can't really do things. I think I'm going to go see a weight loss clinic because I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Not even just I look good. The extra weight was making the injuries that I had worse. So I said, I don't feel good. And he was like, he was like, you do what makes you feel good. Like, do what you feel is best. I don't think you need to do this, but if you are going to do it, I support it. So that's one way to approach it. Another way is, you know, babe, I'm thinking of taking this class, or I'm thinking of trying cycling, or I'm, you know, I want to try meatless Mondays at home. Like, there's a way to talk about it, because women are going to, if we gain weight, and we're mindful of how we look, or if you're gaining a lot of weight and we know that it's important to you, We're gonna try those things, and it's worthwhile just making it palatable for your partner because you care about them. You don't. Your goal isn't to just say whatever because that's how you feel. Your goal is to care and show them that you care, but also get your point across.
Right, and you know, excuse me, and I think it's great because you definitely broke it down a lot better than I could, and hopefully for our listeners who are kind of tuning in, both male and females, is like you said, number one, it's communication, and I feel that we don't know how to communicate with each other anymore, male and female, when it comes to a courting or relationships or whatever. It's so many different struggles that we may face, but you said, hey, listen, communication, and in the examples that you gave. You know, if for guys listening who want to say something to their girl, if it's weight or whatever, how it was done and it worked. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like it worked. Like there's other people who have a bad approach or who have no approach and they do, you know what I'm saying? They do some, you know, fuckboy stuff and, you know, it doesn't work. So I think it was really good that you had mentioned that. So now I want to kind of, you know, I want to keep the conversation flow. We're going to have some fun and hopefully we drop some educational information there. When it comes to love, and one of the things, major things, is being able to communicate both the good and the bad. So I want to ask you, when it comes to love, do you feel that having money is more important to falling in love with someone? Is status, is security, or is it looks? Like what, which one do you think women prefer? And then which one do you think you personally prefer? So do you prefer, would you love a guy who has no money? And could you love a guy who has a lot of money?
Obviously, I could love a guy who has a lot of money. Hey. I think that's a no-brainer. Hey. Okay. Could I love a guy with no money? Like, love keep him? Honest. Yeah, I could keep love him, but I couldn't be with him.
Ooh, okay.
I could love him. I can love people. I love people, but I ain't gonna be with you if you ain't got no money. We're too old for that.
Nah, facts, man. See, this is what the show is really about. It's about keeping it honest. Cause someone's like, oh, I can love him. It doesn't matter. I get relationships for love, or I'm with this guy because I love him. And at the end of the day, I'm like, that don't fly. That don't fly in reality. I want to touch it.
Is not in love with the person. What they're in love with is their ability to be a caretaker to that person, and they like the control of it. Because if women, and American women especially, are, you know, it's a little different for Black women, I think, sometimes, but just overall from an American mindset, American women are raised to be provided for. You know, going way back into the let's just go back to the 1940s, 1950s. There was guides on how to catch a man, how to be a housewife. You know, we have certain social norms that we subscribe to. And one of those, and I think it still stands, there might be variations of it, but the general standard is that women are to be provided for. Now, of course, when we did our Rosie the Riveter thing, I know y'all can't see my arm because of my thing, but when we decided to do the Rosie the Riveter thing and step out into the workplace, and we really started making our coin, and now we have women in the C-suites, and we have women that are going and getting multiple degrees and doing this and
your PhD, and right. Okay.
We got a woman, Black woman vice president, y'all. I mean, we're breaking glass ceilings. I think it leaves room for different types of income household, mixed income households, where maybe the man might make less than the woman. Now, if a man makes less than me, that's not necessarily a deal breaker, depending on how he is still a provider, because at the end of the day, I still expect a certain level of provision, and I still expect a certain level of strategy, wisdom, and ambition. So if you start out making 40K, right? I'm a millennial, I'm in my early 30s. Most millennials are making somewhere between 35 and 75K on average. If he's making 40K and I'm making 60, we can make that work because together we're a 100K unit. So that means we can do some things together. We can build some things together. We can make that work. Now, if he got injured and now he's knocked down to 20K, I can still make that work. But mm-hmm. say he's not trying to do anything at all to improve his income, improve his status, I can't make that right. work because I'm driven. You know, I'm going to mm-hmm. try. So that's where I stand.
All right. No, facts. So with that being said, because I could totally understand, and you know, from traditions, like you said, back in the '60s, there was a certain structure, right, that was followed, that women had their guide and men had our guide, right? I'm a provider, I'm gonna take care of my household, my woman, you know, basically she should want for nothing. That's my role, that's what I do. Then, as we all know, things have changed. Some things that have changed as far as more women are, let's say, graduating from college and less men aren't. We all know if you graduate from college, the type of job that you may get may put you at a higher bracket. So the shift is starting to change. Now our core basis as far as what we might've been brought up on have not changed. So now you have women who are going into the market, they're making more money than their man. And now the man, for whatever reason, he might be trying to get up. But as far as what his role is and what his status is, it's a little different now because he's like, well, she may have what I don't. And not all women, but some women have that. Everybody wants, let's say, date up or want somebody who does better than them. And now if a woman wants better than her, and that's in her nature because that's how she was brought up, the amount of men that are doing that gets even slimmer. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like, yeah, it starts to be like, whoa, this gets a tight squeeze. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I've just noticed from what I've seen, just being honest, that because of the certain dynamics that have changed, because of the certain mentalities that have been shifted as far as what a relationship is when it comes to a woman being submissive or not being submissive, or how do you submit to a man that not is lesser than, but because if we're going on numbers, could appear lesser than. And you kind of already addressed that with how you approach it as a unit. Some people don't necessarily see it that way. They see it as, well, I make 60 and he makes 59.2. That's less than, just keeping the simple math. So now the issue becomes, well, I can't submit to this man, or I wouldn't say the word is better than this person, but if you look at sheer numbers, which is, in my opinion, where we've been driven to look at the numbers and not those other things as far as the security, as again, you had mentioned, that bring that structure, that bring that other value, that regardless, back in the 60s, yeah, the man may have had the money, but he also had certain characteristics that made him, I wouldn't say the authority, but that let his woman know
authority is right. Authority, you know what I'm saying? Well, it's the right word.
Okay.
It's the right word.
So that made him the authority regardless of
the leader of the home.
Yes. And so from my opinion, the way I've seen it, just keeping it honest, that authority has been diminished due to the amount of money. It became about money and it became about status. And now the women are chasing the money and the status, and men, for whatever reason, just in general, it's not really in their favor. Women are feeling like they're finding less quality men, and men are feeling like they're feeling less quality women, because it's no man wants to be with a woman who's not going to submit, and no woman wants to be with a man who's not the authority.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's based off of his pay rate, you know what I'm saying? And he's already starting at a disadvantage. But again, it goes back to, like you said, just being honest. And I feel that, go ahead.
I want to touch on this.
Touch on it. This was going to be a show.
This is fire.
This going to be a show. This is fire.
Most people will find this hard to believe.
That's okay.
I am a submissive woman. To a degree, okay. I am a submissive woman. Most people look mm-hmm. at me as a leader type, right? They look at Samuel as a leader type. I'm not an A-type personality. You know, I'm not like, do it my way or the highway. I'm more creative. I'm more willing. I'm more of a collaborator. And mm-hmm. I want to talk about households. You know, you have the traditional household where the man is the leader. And then you have you have a household where a patriarchal household, you have a matriarchal household. A lot of Black families have matriarchal households. And just over time, more and more households are becoming matriarchal because there's a lot of single parents and women typically take on the child. Then you have what is called an egalitarian household. Nobody talks about this. This is the best household. An egalitarian household is we do what works to make us work. So he might say, what happens if I make enough to support the entire family and I'm moving and I'm shaking and I'm doing all the things and he's awesome. He's great. He's got some online business that he does at home and he could stay home with the kids. I'm all for it because he's leading our household. And then I'm able to accomplish certain dreams that I want to accomplish. I'm not against that. And I can still submit to that man because he takes care of the home. I'm not against that. I am more, I grew up in an egalitarian home in some sense. My mother and father made decisions pretty equally. There were some things if my dad said no, it was a no. But 90% of the time, he 80% of the time, he left the decisions to my mom. On how we move forward as a family. And he was the breadwinner. And but he still cooked us dinner. He still, you know, took us places and did like things, did the laundry, did things that some people would say were women's roles. And my mom did certain things, making a lot of those decisions on how the finances were distributed to and what they covered and those types of things. It might be a man's role, you know, and discipline with us. They split that equally. I valued that home because I never, I always felt like I could do whatever I needed to do as a woman seeing a home like that. And I also see my mom, when my dad says things got to be this way, I see my mom say, okay, and let him lead. And I'm okay with that, you know? As far as leadership in the home goes, it's about who makes the best decisions for the family, who's making the best decisions for us as a couple, as a unit. It's not necessarily about income. Now, if you're a man and you can't manage money and you know you can't manage money, but your woman is great with managing money, let her manage the money. That doesn't mean you're any less of a good man. If you know how to run a household seamlessly because you grew up in that type of household, that makes you a leader in your home. You gotta own your where you're a good leader,
right? And you know what it is, you said it by most, who makes the best decisions. And I feel that that's a point that is not often talked about at all. You know, and sometimes, and again, sometimes decisions could be made emotionally. Sometimes decisions can be made logically. Sometimes decisions got to be last minute. And depending on the situation, depending on the relationship, it could come from a man. It could come from a woman. But I think that the preemptive before it gets there, it's predicated on how much money does this man make, whether he's good or bad. He could be a complete asshole, but he got a lot of money. And again, he could be your average guy which most of us in this world are average. I mean, to be a high earner, it's few and far in between. And that's a whole nother, I find it to be humorous because everyone wants a high earner. But if you've never been in that status or that realm, it's like a theory. You're like, oh, I want that. Because you think you know what that is, and you get there, it's a whole new rule of relationship.
Men do it. Men do it too. And y'all, I want to say how y'all do it because ain't got nothing to do with money, really.
Okay. Well, listen,
y'all do it with looks.
100%. Yes.
Men do it with looks. I have male friends, and like the type of girl they want don't match. It don't match them. Like they want this girl that looks like this, that has this, that acts like this, that moves like this. And do like you don't even, you still got cold in your eye from this morning. You a little ashy on the elbows. Your hygiene ain't up to par, but you want a girl that's like Beyonce? Dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah, listen,
that's not gonna happen for you. You know,
that's facts.
You gotta date within your means, and I don't mean money. I don't mean money. You just gotta date within who you are.
You are so right. Like I said, that's what we're saying. Like, where is the love? And this love is, to be keeping it honest, it's been this picture painted theory that doesn't necessarily. I wouldn't say it doesn't exist, but it's not the reality of which we live in. Like, I mean, I watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, but from what I've seen in television, they tend to demasculate or make the man less masculine than what he is in a humorous, submissive, subtle way that, again, where we had mentioned before, sometimes when you say something, if you've never heard or heard somebody say something, you're like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. It's kind of like a shock factor. But it's just like, no, that's not it. Like, there's a football commercial, and I don't know the guy who's playing, but he's in the football arena, and he's working out. Right? Big football play, he's working out. And this guy comes into the stadium, and he says, oh, we're having a guest. We're having some visitors. He runs out. Oh, my God, I got to go bake and get all this other stuff. And he runs down the hallway, right? And I'm like, okay. Now, given the context of the commercial, right? Not saying that, well, no, keeping in my 100%, I was keeping it honest. In my opinion, that seemed to be as if it was feminine because it didn't fit the situation. Here he is, he's working out, he's football, he's, you know, but they were playing on the home, you know what I'm saying? Like the home, like this is your domain, like the football field. But then they're talking about guests and he goes running off like, oh, I got to take care of like, the cooking and some random stuff. And to me, I was just like, if you didn't know any better, it was a funny commercial. But then you kind of look at it, it was just like, where was the masculinity? Like you showed a masculine working out on a football field. It's the gridiron, it's rough and tough. And then he runs off. And then, and that was just one commercial. Another commercial I saw was about this, a truck commercial. And in the truck commercial, the guy went out, I'm assuming he was the head of the household because he bought two cars, one for him and one for her. So my assumption is that he's the breadwinner, he's the leader. And he said, hey, honey, I came here to surprise you. And she took the car he wanted, and then he just abided by it and said, didn't say anything, and was just like, oh, so I guess I'll take this car. And again, it was funny, right? Funny. But at the end of the day, it was just like, yo, no, you take the car I bought you because I bought the car because I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was doing what I thought I said. I'm like, yo, my lady needs a whip. I bought her a whip. The red one's mine. The blue one's hers. There's no, oh, I bought the whips and she gets the one I wanted. And I sit back and be like, take that. But it was okay. And then, like I said, depending, since it's not really brought to that attention, if the commercial had been like, no, you take the blue one, I'm gonna take the red one. And be like, oh well, he's being mean or he's being controlling, mm-hmm. And that's what I said. So I just feel that that's type of stuff happens all the time in TV and commercials, and it's so subtle that you don't realize it. So let's just say if a young lady comes across a guy who is maybe is more masculine or who's a better sense of self, he becomes an asshole or he's not nice because he doesn't really sway too much or. Or a woman who's not used to a guy, because there are guys who may be like that, who don't make decisions. So now we butt heads, right? So now we're trying to figure out that communication, because she's coming from a I'm not used to that, and he's coming from a like, whoa, wait a minute, and the roads get crossed. I mean, now am I the only one seeing it from a guy's point of view, or do you see it from your point of view that they kind of demasculize men in the mainstream?
There is definitely a feminization going on. I don't know if that last commercial says it, but there's something important in what you said in that last commercial. I never saw the first commercial, but I saw the car commercial.
Oh, you
I
saw the car commercial.
I did.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna talk from another commercial that I saw. So Jason. So last Super Bowl. Yes. There was this commercial with Jason Momoa Lisa Bonet and their kids.
Yeah, I know which one you talk about. Yeah,
Jason's, Jason's fine as hell. Okay. His muscles is taking off. His hair is all shitty. You know, he just don't look like Jason Momoa. He looks like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
But when we see Jason Momoa, he's throwing axes, he's playing some type of characters, just man on man on man. Mm-hmm. But Jason Momoa's reality is that he has this older Black woman as a wife who mm-hmm. is a superstar way before he was, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got these little babies. He's got an adult stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. His current wife's ex-husband is Lenny Kravitz. So, you know, we don't really know Jason Momoa. Maybe when Jason Momoa goes home, there is a softer side. There is this guy who's vacuuming the sofa and he's not as, you know, and he's more like, nah, Lisa, you got it. You know, we don't know, you know, and then there was an incident on a red carpet where someone wanted Jason to do the haka and Lisa was like, nah, you're not going to exploit my husband's ethnicity. Lisa stood in for her man. And some people might've seen that as controlling, but Lisa's man is considerably younger than her, considerably. Right. They have a huge age difference. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, he needed that mama bear to be like, nah. He needed that.
Oh, look at that.
So,
in fact, okay.
So I think that there's moments where, mm-hmm. you know, it could be, I think that there are, like there was something you said earlier, is that sometimes women have this mindset that men and women should be a certain way. So when a counter partner who's different, who's like, goes out and buys these two exact identical on the inside cars, but the outside one is red and one is blue. Mm-hmm. There might be a man that says, nah, you keep I got you a red, be happy with the red. And she might be upset, but there might be some women who are like, all right, well, damn, I still got a new car. So you know, thanks, babe, and move on. Mm-hmm. There might be some men who are just like, whatever, you know, as long as my wife is happy, mm-hmm. it makes me no difference, you know? So it's really about your compatibility in decision-making and your compatibility in choice. As a woman, I have to make a lot of decisions on a regular basis. So for me, I like men that know how to make good decisions, healthy decisions and healthy choices for the betterment of themselves and for the betterment of us as a unit. So I can sit there and be like, well, let's just say my last job, I was the one that had to make all the decisions about every single thing. So for me, if I'm working all day, having to make the decisions all day, I pick dinner, babe. I don't want to. Like, I'll make it, but you choose it, you know, or you pick the movie or you pick the restaurant. I'm okay with him leading those things because when I get home, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
You know? So it really just, it's a very intimate thing, but you have to know, first and foremost, you have to know who you are. To make that, to really decide if that works for you. Because if you try to wrap your ideas of love about the world, the way the world sees it and the way it's mainstreamed, you're never going to be happy. You might find things, you might have a facade of happiness, but you're not going to have true happiness in your relationship because you're operating from this mindset of I have to have it this way because that's what the world sees is best. I have to have this type of partner because that's what the world sees is best.
Wow, that's facts. So in keeping it honest, do you feel, or would you say the majority women think that way, that they have, like, from what they see on TV? Or would you say the majority women are the opposite and are more in tune to kind of where you are with yourself as far as one, finding your match, to community and having somebody on your level? I mean, you said something else, but it was just generally like, deal with somebody who, where y'all are here, instead of trying to deal with somebody who's way up here, or the reverse, dealing with somebody who's way down here, because that tends to happen as well. So how would you say, just from your observation and being a woman in this world, seeing other women, where do you think they fall? Do you think they fall more toward this superficial life? Or are they more realistic?
I think the women that, I can't only speak around the women that I know and I'm around, and I can speak about certain things that I see when on social media. I think they're leaning more, I think most women lean a little bit to more towards dating up, but I do think that there's a large subsection that's willing to, I don't want to say this in a terrible way, but I think there's a large subsection that's willing to build a nigga. Like, I don't got time. I'm not build a bear. You know, I learned that over time from being in a relationship for a long time where I felt like I was trying to build this man into something. I couldn't build him into anything he didn't want to be. And if he wasn't ready to make strides to be the best version of himself, who am I to try and make him the best version of himself? I'm good. I came to that conclusion eventually. I'm good. So now I'm at this point where I need a vibe match. We need a vibe match. The last, like, the person I was following for, Jake from State Farm, there was a vibe match, you know, where we were both in, you know, we in our respective areas of life, we were both kind of matching the same vibe. We both, people knew us both pretty well out in the world. We can command the room. You know, there were certain things where our vibes just matched. We were both single parents. Mm-hmm. We both dealt with extreme loss. We both had a lot of areas where there was commonality and intersectionality. And I, from watching him and watching how he handled things, I felt okay with him making a lot of decisions and leading. I felt comfortable because I knew that the man that he aspired to be and the man that he was actively working towards being was a good man.
So let me ask you this question for all of the male listeners who might be out there. And then Sam, if you have any questions, you know, you can always ask me, maybe I can answer for the female listeners. What were some of the traits that Jake State Farm guy had that showed to you beyond money that he wasn't the next Build-A-Bear guy that you decided to spend your time with? Like, what were some of those characteristics? Because in my personal opinion and keeping it honest, I think women don't know what those characteristics are. So what did you see in him?
I'm not even going to talk about Jake. I'm going to talk about okay. I'm going to talk about you.
Me?
Yes, because we're friends and I know you. So I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to brag about you. If you get a girlfriend from this, I don't know. I don't know how I might feel about that, but whatever. I feel like you guys owe me a payment, but no, I'm just kidding. I want to talk about you for a second. As one of my closest friends and as a confidant and just knowing you for the last couple of years, and I watch you and you help me develop, you know, ideas. You helped me flesh out ideas into real living, breathing things. And I've watched you flesh out ideas into real living, breathing things. And I watch how you handle people and I watch how you handle relationships. I watch how you handle trials that you've been through. You make good decisions. You make decisions that are beneficial not only to yourself, but they benefit the greater good of others. You put others before yourself very often, but not to your detriment. And that is one of the biggest traits. You take care of how you look. You're always, even through the quarantine, you barely had like scruff. You're like barely. It was like a nice scruffy moment. It's like, okay, cool. Like that's your scruff. Cool. You know, you take care of your look. You're always willing to learn. You're always willing to listen. You're always willing to gather new ideas. You have a open mind. You know, I watched you. I'm sorry. I'm about to talk about you. You took on dance class because you're like, I want to learn how to dance this way. So I'm going to do it.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I watched you go to different places and explore. Like you have this amazing worldview and you have like these, you're rich with ideas. You understand people. You can find common ground amongst people. And when you're at a point with people where you're like, this ain't gonna work. You know, this person is not being who they perpetrate to be. I can't continue that. Even when you cut them off, it's peacefully done. Like I've never seen you do anyone dirty. I've never seen you be shady, shiesty, manipulative. Those things are not in your spirit, man. They're not in your nature, you know? And to me, it's those type of men. It's those type of people. You're a leader in your own right. You know, you stand out in your own right. And I'll say that I saw a lot of those qualities in Jake from State Farm.
Okay.
But then there was things that I saw that weren't very nice.
Got it.
You know, like he's not willing to listen to folks. He has his idea, what he thinks about it, and it is what it is. And there's no changing that. And that even if it's hurting people around him that he says he cares about, there's no changing that. You know, it is, I think this way, I'm doing it this way. But as far as like the main things, like if we were to carry on a relationship, for the most part, I would have felt that safe, and I would have felt that a lot of the decisions he made would have, and decisions that I saw that he did make at times when it came down to things we were doing and ideas, and that they were beneficial to the betterment of him, myself, and us as a team.
Okay. Listen, man, that's real talk. And I appreciate all the accolades that you bestowed on me.
You my homie, and I see you.
I appreciate that. And in keeping it to the theme of the show, keeping it honest, all of the things that I probably was at some point, an asshole, a cheater, a player, a dog, you name it. I've definitely been those things. I have been I have been in relationships to where I wasn't the best, and I've been in relationships to where I've given my all, and you know, life goes on and you learn to get me to a standpoint of where I am now. So I do appreciate that. But anybody who listens to this or sees it, I am not Mr. Perfect. I don't want to be Mr. Perfect. And I just aspire to be the best I can be. And I may hurt you in that process. I may not, but it is for the betterment of, I trust my judgment, and I would like to deal with somebody or deal with people who will back my judgment. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's the only way I can learn not fail forward. And that comes within life, and it also comes in within relationships. And that's my firm belief, you know, at the end of the day. So, we're almost to the close. We're gonna keep it going almost to the close, because you know you can't talk about love unless we talk about sex. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. We ain't gonna go too deep. So, but figure we can have some fun, right? You know what I'm saying? We can't have a show keeping it real and not talk about that, because we definitely went over a lot of the love information, and that's great. But there's other parts of love that, you know, well, we can touch on before we close it out. So it's a hypothetical. Does someone saying I love you for the first time during sex even count? And have you ever said it during sex?
Yeah, I've said it.
The first time? Sex. Like the first time having it? Oh, wow. Okay.
Not the first time having it. No,
yeah,
no, that's, no,
okay,
no,
okay.
No,
okay.
No,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So that,
nah,
okay.
No, me, nah. The first time having it.
Okay. Yeah. That
I'm a modern woman, and the first time could be the last time. So I don't know. I'm not even going to hold you. Like, it could be like that one and done situation, you know? But have I said it during the act and it was the first time? Yes.
Okay, got it. All right, cool. So I guess we would say it does count. That could be a real thing, right? So, you know, fellas.
Yeah, I don't think that saying I love you during
the first time.
The very first time I say it versus the very first time I had sex. If the first time I had sex with you, I'm telling you I love you, I'm lying.
Okay.
Unless it's like a long, like we've been rocking with each other for a long time, and we decided to take sex off the table in the beginning. Some couples choose to do that. Like they'll go the first few times they're spending together 30, 90 days where they're like, we're not going to have sex. We're just going to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen because maybe in that 90 days, like, yo, you're the bomb.com and I'm falling for you.
It could happen.
Have I ever had sex and the first time I told someone that very first time, have I ever had sex?
And said it very first time. Like you met him at the bar, whatever, and you guys went and did what you did and that night. He was like, yo,
No.
Okay.
No,
cool.
But I could say that I have had sex with someone after being with them for a while and told them during that act for the first time that I love them.
Well, which actually,
and I meant it.
Yeah, which actually it makes, you know what I'm saying, it makes sense, because you know there was it leads me into kind of my next my next question is more sex for you, is it more a physical connection or is it more of an emotional?
Sex is a physical thing for me.
Okay.
It is not an emotional thing for me.
Okay. Because I mean, again, that, that depends. And to be honest, like there are some, in theory, women think that for men it's just sex and for some men it just is. And then there are men out there, for some men it's just more than that and there's an emotional connection right. for them, which is, you know, is very interesting. So here we go. I got another one, and I'll answer a couple more, but I do have another question for you. So when somebody says, okay, let's come over and watch movies, does it usually mean have sex? But if it does, hold on, but what are other signs that it's nothing but a booty call? So what I'm trying to say is, if I say, hey, come over and watch a movie, and we know it means sex, and there's other times when it's just a booty call, how do you differentiate the two when that statement is said?
Okay, so you're saying, I say,
come over and watch a movie, right?
Okay. Usually means so sex. If I'm with some, is this the first time we meet in?
How first time we meet? So it's just like, yo.
I think that it depends, because we in a weird time right now and I started dating during COVID, so it's hard to tell because people don't really want to go nowhere, go outside, because they're gonna die.
Yes.
But if we took that out of it, and 9 times out of 10, if a guy is inviting me over after 8 o'clock and he's saying let's watch a movie, granted depending on when he gets off of work, but let's just say he works a traditional 9 to 5 and he's inviting me over after 8 o'clock to watch a movie, I probably think that that's his intention. But that doesn't mean I'm going to allow that. I can leave, you know, when I do. The time definitely is a factor. Now, if me and you are rocking and have been talking or whatever, and we've gone on a few dates and maybe we haven't had sex yet, but say we talked and there's like a Netflix film coming out or something and I want to watch it or you want to watch it, or one of the things was a few months ago, I had never seen Friday. I had never seen Pulp Fiction. Like, these were movies I had never seen before. So if you're like, yo, come over, let's watch this movie, I'm not going to assume that that's about sex. I'm just not. I'm going to think you heard what I said, or we were both looking forward to, like right now, we're not going to the movie theater. So Wonder Woman 1984 just came out. So if you're like, yo, Wonder Woman just came out, you want to watch it together? I'm thinking you want to watch Wonder Woman.
Got it. All right, listen, man, that's true story. Because, hey, listen, nowadays, like you said, that, hey, come over and watch a movie is, oh man, that's a fully loaded question. You're like,
It is.
I don't know. Do I want to play some video games, or do I want to go watch a movie?
Yo, listen, I'm to the point where now I would just be like, if your intention is that we're gonna sleep together, is that what you, I'm just gonna ask you, is that what you want? And want that, I might show up. If I'm not into it, I'm gonna say, well, that's not something I'm really trying to do, and not go.
Yeah, and like, it goes back to keeping it honest. You know what I'm saying? So you hear that, ladies and gents who tuning in, that's why it is so important now in 2021. I mean, it was always important, but now moving forward, keeping it honest, man, it is extremely important, because we're lied to in so many different ways. We lie to ourselves, we lie to each other, and at the end of the day, it's just like, yo, I mean, any time wasted is time wasted that we ain't getting back, because we can see how life can change in an instant. So what's more important now than just being honest with each other? And you know what I'm saying? Listen, I would love to continue to go, because I had some more stuff on my list, but we might have to do a part two and bring that in for the people. But before I close out the show, is there anything that you want to say?
I'm back outside for those who are listening.
Okay. You hear that?
I'm outside. It is what it is. But just take it, just keep it real with yourself. Start there. Start with keeping it real with yourself. You know, if you're not a certain type of person, like, don't say, how do I put it? You know, there's a scale of 1 to 10. You know realistically where you fall on that scale between looks, personality, job. You know where you fall. Try not to go too far outside of your range. Like, if you're a solid set, if you're a 5 on the scale and you know you're a 5, don't go, it's safe to go with 3s and it's safe to go with 7s. Stop trying to get to 10. Like, just stop. You're not doing anything for yourself. Now, if you start to get closer to 10, you get to a 7, you get to an 8. Yeah, go for the 10, you know? But be realistic about who you really are. You know, understand who you really are. Really take a good look at yourself and be like, I'm going to keep it real. I'm not trying to date C-suite executives. I'm not. Those are not the men for me. Of course, their money looks great, but they're not necessarily the type for a man for Samantha right now. I'm not trying to date supermodels because Samantha is not a supermodel. So there is a looks range. I consider myself in a certain range. I'm not going to say where, because I don't need to, but I know my looks, and I might date a little underneath my looks. I might date a little above my looks. I might date a little underneath my income. I might date a little above my income, but I want to be reasoned, because I think that the best relationships start on an even playing field.
Facts.
Listen. So stick with that. Start there.
There you go, man. So everybody who's been tuning in, we really appreciate you. The topic of this episode was, where is the love? And we have covered quite a few things, from just the types of love, some sex, and just some random funny annotations throughout this. I guess kind of what I want to say, what I hope that our listeners gather from this, is that communication is something that we all need to work on, just in general. And when the question was posed, where is the love? Maybe you didn't necessarily know where it was going to take us, but I would like to say, and I would like to believe, that when it comes to finding where the love is, it starts with yourself. Everything that I believe Sam and I talked about, it all resonated with the miscommunication was not knowing ourselves. The miscommunication was not knowing how to read the other people. So I think when it comes to where's the love, and if you're having any issues right now in this present time with finding love or believing in love or whatever it may be, find out who you are first, love yourself. And at the end of the day, make sure you're keeping it honest. This is Dennis, and you've tuned into the very first episode of Keeping It Honest with our special guest, Sam Law. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you tune in. I hope you appreciate the honesty, and I hope you tune in for our next episode.